And look at this great part of the Bible. How good was that video clip, by the way? I haven't seen that before. That was excellent. That was super good. I'll pray and then we'll have a look at what God has to say to us. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you love us. We thank you that you care for us. And we pray for these few moments now as we look at your word to us in the Bible. We pray that you'd please help us to respond to you in faith and trust. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There is something that really stirs the heart, that gets the emotions going about a lost and found story, in a rescue story. Many of us will remember that extraordinary rescue of the boys and their soccer coach trapped in the cave and in Thailand back in 2018. Do you remember that? The whole it was just amazing, wasn't it? The exceptional event, was turned into a 2021 film, The Rescue. It was recently shown on our TV screens just a few weeks ago. And last year there was a six-part miniseries about the whole thing, which was on Netflix. Now I mention this because it just highlights how this remarkable event grabbed the attention, focused the attention of the whole world. So much effort was put into rescuing these boys and their coach from danger, from great peril. And no expense was spared. Great sacrifice was made. In fact, one of the rescuers made even the greatest sacrifice, giving their life to rescue these boys and their coach from the danger of that cave. But the whole world rejoiced. As the whole world focused on this thing, what great joy there was when the boys were brought out. Rejoicing, the boys lost, thinking there's no hope for these guys. No, but they were rescued and they were able to safely go home. Now, closer to home, many of us have our own lost and found stories. The lost child in the shopping centre. Thinking of where we live up in the Blue Mountains, the lost child in the rugged bushland, it often does happen. And it creates such anxiety. I mean, there's fear and terror, but it turns into joy when the lost child is found. The lost car keys, the lost mobile phone, everyone has their lost story. Now, in that the two Bible readings we had in the video, we've just heard from Luke 15 how Jesus tells us about four lost things: a lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son, and a lost brother. Lost sheep, lost coin, lost son, lost brother. Now, Jesus' parable reveals two things. Firstly, they reveal the danger. The peril of being lost. Being lost, it is a terrible thing, isn't it? Fear and panic and danger and confusion. But secondly, Jesus' parables reveals the heart of the one who does the searching. Jesus' parables reveals the heart of the one who does the searching for that which is lost. These stories, these parables, which Jesus links all together, show what matters to God. Now, I'm not sure what you think about God, but these stories reveal the heart of God. They reveal that God is passionate to see lost people found. God is passionate to see lost people turn around and to come home to him, to put their faith and trust in him. God is the searching God who loves to find people who are lost. God is not content with the 99 sheep. He's not content with the 9 coins. He searches for the one lost sheep. He searches for the one lost coin. Each person matters to God. You matter to God. God is passionate to see lost people found, to come back home to him. And when they are found, when they turn back to him, there is great celebration, great celebration. Now, Jesus' story is with this common theme of something that is lost, a search and a rejoicing when it is found, reveals that apart from God, we are lost. Apart from God, we are without hope. We need to be found by God. And it is only when we are found by God that we are truly at home. Now, Jesus' parables are even more meaningful when he starts to talk about these two sons. The younger son comes to his father saying, "Father, give me my share of the estate." What he's actually saying is, "Father, I wish you were dead because I want my share of the inheritance. I want it now." Many of you have been to Taronga Park Zoo. You might remember how in November last year, five lions managed to escape. You remember this? Five lions managed to escape their enclosure by scratching and then breaking through a fence. I don't actually have the video footage, but I got some pictures of that video footage. The event showed the four lion cubs playing at the bottom of the fence, and one eventually pushed its way through to the other side. Its three siblings quickly followed. But then a few moments, as you can see, the lion cub's father follows them through the hole. Freedom. Or so they thought. But here's the thing. The lions thinking, "Hey, this is going to be great. We've escaped our enclosure. We've escaped our cage. We're free." They've just gone from one cage only to find themselves trapped within a larger cage, the zoo. Now, for the young man thinking that life in the far country, life living independently, free from his father, it's going to bring joy. It's going to bring freedom. It's going to bring the happiness that I'm hoping to find. He'd soon discover that, no, that is an illusion. That's not the way it works at all. Like the lions thinking that you would be free, you soon see you're not free at all. And Jesus' parable will teach us that life lived without God, life lived without God, shatters our illusions about independence. It teaches us that life without God means you're not really living at all. Now, this young son, he's yet to understand that. He's yet to discover it. He wants his share of the estate now. "I want what's coming to me now." Now, extraordinarily, the father, in his kindness, he gives it to him. The son heads off for the distant country. And foolishly, he blows the lot. He ends up feeding pigs. Now, this is a massive come down for this rich kid. It's a disaster. No one will give him anything. Did you see that? No one will give him anything. And he's broke. He's living in squalor. He's dreaming of eating pig food. And he finally comes to his senses. But did you notice too that this is a real change of heart? It's not, "Look, you know, I'll go back to my dad and I'll say, 'Dad, I'm sorry, we stuffed up a bit there, you know, we could have worked out, let's just put it behind us and we'll just go back to how things really, you know, we'll just go back like they were.'" No, it's not like that. See what happens. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's servants have food to spare, and here I am, starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" See, this is a real change of heart. The son repents and he acts. He comes home. He comes home to the father who loves him. I've sinned. I've rebelled against you. Please forgive me. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I don't deserve to be called your son. I've treated you so badly. I just want to come home. Look, I can just be one of the employees. I'm happy to take the garbage out. Anything. Please, I just want to come home. Just let me come home. Come home to you, my Father. See, God wants us to turn back to him. He wants us to come home to him, just like this son, to seek forgiveness for going away, to seek forgiveness for staying away, forgiveness for turning our back on God, for rebelling against him. Now, if you're someone who is new at church today, or even feeling newish, or you've come back to church, it's great to have you with us. As I was talking about with Scott there in the interview at the beginning, I know what it's like to come back to church. As a kid, I used to go to church. I used to go to Sunday school. It was great. We did Bible talks and we played games and they were good friends. It was fun, although I do remember there was one game we were playing. I collided with another kid. It was on a concrete floor. I fell, hit my head on the concrete floor, knocked myself out. I was unconscious. That was not fun, let me tell you, that wasn't fun. But when I was 12, we moved from one side of the city to the other. And when we moved into the new suburb, there was a church there. They didn't have a kids program. They didn't have a kids church like you guys have here. None of my friends went to church. I wanted to be like everyone else around me. So I stopped going to church. A few years later, one of the guys in my soccer team, a guy whose name was Ray, he invited me to church. Now, Ray was a really nice guy. He's a really good soccer player. But he invited me to church. Now, I don't remember if I told him the real reason why what I was thinking. But in my head, I wanted to be like the other people around me who weren't going to church. I didn't want to go to church on Sunday. I wanted to go to the beach when it was summer. I wanted to play footy. I wanted to watch footy. I didn't want to go to church. I wanted to live in a way where I thought I could enjoy. I'm free. I want to be free. I thought I'd be free to do what I wanted to do. But that's not what happened. That's not what happened. Now, sadly, I lost contact with Ray, but that saying no to him, it always bothered me. It always bothered me. And one day I hope I'll get the opportunity to apologise, to meet up with Ray again, to apologise to him for saying no and for being such an idiot. Because the longer I stayed away from church, the more I cut myself off from God, the more my life began to unravel. I didn't have any answers for any of the big questions that were going on in my head. Questions about life or death or purpose or meaning. And it wasn't until, as I was saying there, in my third year of uni, quite a few years later, when another group of friends invited me to church. And this time I went. Now, it was a church where the Bible was taught well. It was taught in a way that made sense. In fact, it was taught in a way that actually spoke to me, and I could understand it. There was a great group of people at this church, and I decided I'll go back again and again and again. And it was where I made that all-important decision to come home to God, to follow and trust Jesus, just like the son in Jesus' story. And, of course, here I am now. But going back to church, reconnecting with Jesus, I can tell you it was the best thing that I've ever done. Now, in these parables that Jesus tells, we see the heart of God. we see the real character of God. In Jesus' story, as the son is coming home, Jesus switches our attention from the son to the father. See what happens. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Now you can imagine that in this family, every family event, every meal, there's an empty chair. And the father is painfully reminded one of his sons is missing. So the father is looking. He's got his binoculars or his telescope or his first century equivalent, and he's scanning the skyline. He's aching for his son. Now there in the distance on the horizon, that's my son. And filled with compassion, filled with gut-wrenching compassion, he does what no respectful first century gentleman would have done. He runs. He gathers up his garment and he runs. You just, first century gentleman, farmer, that's not what you do. But he runs. He runs to him to welcome him home, to show his love, to show his forgiveness for him. He throws his arms around him, he kisses him, he welcomes him back home. The son is barely able to get out his confession. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. The father's put the best robe on him. He puts a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Let's have a feast. Let's celebrate this son of mine. He was dead. Now he's alive again. This son of mine was lost. Now he's found. And all of this shows how the father had forgiven him. He'd restored his relationship with his son. He'd welcomed him home. All the things that God is wanting to do to every person who turns back to him, just like he'll do to you when you turn back to him. How do you think of God? What do you think of God? Well, Jesus is saying that God is kind. He's generous. He's merciful. He's loving. He's forgiving. He's full of grace. In fact, throughout history, songwriters and poets can never just say grace. They had to add amazing grace. This is what God is like, full of amazing grace. He loves seeing lost people found. He loves seeing, he just celebrates and rejoices when lost people come home to him, when lost people turn back to him. With a bit of research, I discovered that the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they had a similar story, about a lost son. But in their story, when the son comes home, the father says to him, young man, you've got a lot to learn. You're home, but you're on probation. Get down to the sheds with the rest of the employees and get your act together. Now, perhaps Jesus' listeners were expecting the same response from the father. Perhaps you're thinking, well, maybe that's how God will treat me if I come home to him. But we don't see anything like that at all from Jesus, do we? What do we see? Compassion, restoration, forgiveness, grace. See, this is the God that we believe in. This is how God treats each one of us when we turn to him, when we repent, when we come back home to him. It's great to come back to God because Jesus is saying, stop wandering. Stop wrecking your life in the distant country, chasing things that don't last, things that don't bring true, lasting, meaningful satisfaction. Don't believe the illusion, don't believe the lie that freedom could ever be found living apart from God. Real life is always found in knowing and trusting Jesus. A few years ago, a guy I know, he called me. His father was close to death. He'd been struggling with cancer. Could I please visit and talk to him? So we set up a visit. When I got there, we knew there was no point in beating around the bush. So we jumped right in. We started talking about God. Turns out that this guy had some sort of faith as a teenager, but for the last 50 years or so, he'd walked away from God and he knew it. Now, thinking of Luke 15 and this young son, I asked this guy, do you want to come home? Do you want to come home to God? Do you want to come back to God? Now, he'd been waiting for months for someone to ask him that question. He'd been waiting for months. And I just happened to be the right person in the right place at the right time. We prayed, and I'm confident that God and his angels were rejoicing in heaven at that point, just like Jesus describes in these parables. But here's the thing. You don't have to leave it till that late. If you're someone who's living in the distant country, don't put it off. Can I urge you, take the step now, right now, to come home to God, because real life is never found in the distant country away from God. Real life is always found at home with God, our Heavenly Father. Put your faith, put your trust, put your confidence, put your hope, and continue to put your faith and trust and confidence and hope in him. Now, I said that Jesus tells four stories, but so far we've only talked about three, haven't we? A sheep and a coin and a son. What is the fourth lost story? You'll notice I haven't mentioned the older one, have I? The older brother, the lost brother. See, the older brother is the total opposite of everything that we've talked about this morning. When the older brother hears that his younger brother is home and his father is throwing a party, he is furious. He is so angry. He won't join the party. And the father, again showing this amazing grace, he goes out to him and he pleads with him, come and join the celebration. The son spits out his reply. Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never even given me a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered your property on prostitutes, come up, you killed the fattened calf for him. And see the father's reply. My son, the father said, you're always with me. And everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The older brother just doesn't get it, does he? This son of yours, not my brother. And see what he thinks of his father. I've been good. You owe me. He resents his father's kindness. He fails to see his father's kindness. Yet the father was always with him. Everything of the father's was always freely available to this older son. And the older son just failed to see how he too is lost. He needed to be found. He's so busy living this independent, self-made life. He's so intent on doing the right thing, but not understanding life is not about what I achieve. Life is not about what I deserve because what I'm owed, because here's the reality. I'm not owed anything. Life is about being found by God. Life is about coming home to God, our Heavenly Father. living in relationship with him, trusting him, honouring him. And God wants us so much to come home to him that his son Jesus sacrificed his life for us on the cross, the event that we remember each Easter. He gave his life for us so we could be found, so we could be rescued. And what is really sad about Jesus' final parable, we don't know what the older brother will do. He's just as lost as the younger son, but he refuses to admit it. He won't see it. And there's no happy ending. There's no record of him being found. I want to say to you this morning, please don't be like the lost brother who doesn't understand the grace and the kindness and the forgiveness of God and who refuses to come back to God and live in relationship with him. So this morning, now I want to urge you to be like the son who saw that he was lost and that he came home. He comes home to God. Now, if that's you, I'm going to pray a prayer now that will help you take that step to come home to God, to come home to him through Jesus. When you came in this morning, you got your newsletter, you got your sheet there, and in that there's a prayer that I'm going to pray. You might like to grab that now and so you can see the prayer that I'm going to pray, and I'll read it now so that you can get the feel, so you know, you can understand what I'm going to say. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your amazing grace. I want to come home to you. Thank you that when I was lost, far away from you, that you found me and brought me home. Please forgive me and help me from this day forward to live trusting and following Jesus. Amen. So that we're not signaling people out, I'll pray it again, and it would be great if everyone could bow their heads, and I'll lead us in this prayer. And if this is something that you would like to say, you can pray it in your head along with me and say amen at the end. I'll lead us in. Let's pray together. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your amazing grace. I want to come home to you. Thank you that when I was lost, far away from you, that you found me and brought me home. Please forgive me and help me from this day forward to live trusting and following Jesus. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, if you're someone who prayed that prayer today, not only are the angels in heaven celebrating, but we're celebrating as well. And we'd like to get to help some help to you so that you can stay on track with that decision. You also, when you came in, got a feedback card. So it'd be great on that feedback card if you could please tick the box there. You should have got a pen as well. So has everyone got a feedback card and a pen? If they haven't, we'll make sure that you get one. Has everyone got one? Okay. So it'd be great if you're able to tick that box and say, today I prayed the prayer to come home to God. I made the decision to follow in Jesus. So put your name and an email or a phone number so that we can get in touch with you. We've got some extra cards if you missed out. Everyone got one? Nice, that's good. Anyone need a pen? They're pretty snappy pens too, by the way. Okay, if you'd like to tick the box there. Now, they've been advertising here at St. Paul's, advertising the Christianity Explored. This is just an excellent opportunity for you to dig a little bit deeper and to explore and to investigate more what it means to come home to God. Christianity Explored is a great course. So you might like to tick on the card, yeah, I'd like to know more. I'm interested in doing Christianity Explored. So tick that. Also, too, we've got plenty of copies of Luke's Gospel. That account of the parable that Jesus tells comes from the Gospel of Luke. You might like to read the rest of the Gospel of Luke, the account of Jesus' birth, life, death, resurrection, and return. So you might like to read those. There up the back, you can grab one of those copies. Brothers, you might like to, as Scott said, you might like to put a prayer point or something helpful or encouraging. You might say, sorry, John, you follow the Panthers. We follow, well, I don't know who else you could follow, really. But you might like to put a comment, some comment. But be great if you could all please write something on this card, fold it up. It'll be kept confidential for just for Scott and the ministry team, and he can get in touch with you, and then we'll put it. You can put it in the container that comes around during the collection as we sing the next song. While you're filling in the card, I'll hand back to Scott, and he'll tell us what's happening next.
Thank you very much, John. Yeah, as many people as possible filling it out just helps everyone to then be